Merry Christmas and welcome to Words of New Hope.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Hey.
Come on, we sing.
Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us to thee be all glory. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore.
Here is Pastor Wayne with a Christmas message entitled, Rags for Riches.
So today I want to talk to you about rags for riches. You've heard it the other way, rags to riches, but this is a different trade that you don't hear of very often. If you would take out your notes, we're going to read the scripture right at the top of our notes together. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It'll come up on the board. Would you read it nice and loudly with your best theatrical voice? Here we go. Go, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. What if I asked you who were the richest people in the world? What would you say? What would be the top four? I would suggest to you maybe first Elon Musk. You know what he's worth? A mere $341 billion. Did you know that just his money in the bank will earn an interest every year of $28 billion? That's what he just gets for doing nothing. Thank you, those of you that bought Teslas. In fact, for him to dwindle down his money, he could spend $8 million a day for 100 years. Would you like to spend $8 million a day? The second coming up close is Jeff Bezos. He's $234 billion, Amazon. How many of you have ordered something off of Amazon? Raise your hand. Good, yeah, the rest of you are lying. Yeah, because yeah, I know. We all have. You're waiting for stuff right now. Mark Zuckerberg's another one up, coming up at $218 billion. And then Bill Gates, a paltry $107 billion. Poor guy. Did you know that Bill Gates owns 250,000 acres of farmland across the U.S.? Pretty interesting. But even though these guys are rich, they still don't own the 36 acres that the church and college are on. Yeah, that's right. And they don't own that little family farm we have on Royal Avenue for my family. You say, but what if they owned all of Oregon? Would that make them rich? Have you ever seen Oregon on a globe? You spin that globe and it's not Oregon, it's Oregon. It's just gone. Well, you say, well, what if they owned all of the USA? That would make them rich. Well, maybe. But they still don't own South America. But what if they owned 100% of the world? Now, that's something. That's something to think about because that would make you pretty rich. But I want you to read with me what Psalm 24 and verse 1 says about who does own that. Would you read it? Go. The earth is the Lord's and everything. But what about beyond the earth? What about the quasars and the stars? Ah, let's look at Deuteronomy. It says, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it, the galaxies, the sun, the moon, the planets, and beyond. Now that's rich. And God owns it all. But today we want to talk about rags for riches. You hardly ever hear about that. You hear rags to riches. But you never hear about those who are rich that intentionally exchange it for rags. Philippians 2 says this, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be held onto, grasp, but he emptied himself. What? The Lord in all his glory with his regal mantle and crown would set that aside, step over the whitened banisters of heaven and come down to a manger? Probably among manure, dirt. The Bible says in Luke 2, Mary, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths. Very important word, not clothes, cloths. I checked it in the original, and it's not clothes, it's cloths, rags. And placed him in a manger. Wrapped him in rags? Yeah, that's the original word, you know that? Because you see, probably it was during the winter time and that baby was going to catch a chill. They didn't have bunny suits or baby sleeping bags or pretty little furry things that you put on kids anymore. No, they didn't have any of that. They were poor. For some reason, that's where he was going to be born. And to keep him warm, they had to collect rags. Joseph, get that one over there. They use it to wipe the tools, but a little dirt won't hurt. Just wrap him. Wrap him. We got to keep him warm. And they wrapped him in cloths to keep that baby warm. I don't know if you can get any poorer than that, can you? The creator of the universe wrapped in rags. He traded riches for rags. He owned it all and became poor. He didn't even have a permanent home, did he? Foxes have their dens. Birds of the air have their nests. The Son of God had no place to even lay his head. He was homeless. Homeless. Pretty poor. Well, did he pay taxes? Yeah, but he had to get money for taxes out of a fish's mouth. Well, what about transportation? He borrowed a donkey. Well, what about food? He had to rely on charitable donations. You don't get any poorer than that. But I guess he chose that because it made him feel maybe comfortable around those who were poor, sick, ailing. Made him be okay with those who felt alone, struggled with feeling valuable, those who were rejected and cast aside. He could relate to them and they to him. But it didn't bother him. Think about it. After all, he said that it wasn't the well that needed a physician. It was those who were sick and ailing. Today we're going to look at what makes us rich. Because sometimes we equate riches with accumulations of dollars and money in the bank and real estate holdings and net worth. I think J.R.R. Tolkien said it well. He said this, "Remember that all that is gold doesn't always glitter." In Luke chapter 12, Jesus told a story about a guy who was in pursuit of accumulating more, just a little more. You know, when Howard Hughes was about to die, he was lonely, and they said his fingernails had grown so long. And in an interview, they said, "Howard Hughes, you have so much money. How much is enough?" His answer, "Just a little bit more." Jesus tells a story about a man who was like that, and in the midst of all of his pursuit, he suddenly, boom, dies. And then the Lord says this. He says, "Now, life doesn't consist in the abundance of things." Very next verse, he says this. "Like this guy, so is the one who has a lot of stuff but is not rich towards God." Wonder what that means. Maybe God is saying there's something else that makes you rich. Let me tell you three stories. Stories about a leper, a woman, and a son. Let me tell you about a place in the city that's a certain area where a family man got up one day and noticed blotches on his skin. He thought nothing of it. It was reddish, brownish. He let it go. But the problem was it just started to scab over and it just wouldn't heal. It just wouldn't heal. So he went to one of the priests who was actually acting like the health experts of that day. And they said, that looks suspicious. Called another one. And after talking and evaluating, and discussing it, immediately they sent temple policemen to his house and arrested him. Ripped him out of his home. The last memory he had was his baby crying, his wife holding on, two sons there wailing, saying, "What's going on?" No suitcase, no clothes. They ripped him away. The last memory was just his family crying. You see, they called it leprosy. And in those days, leprosy made you of the lowest class of apprehensible people. It was an abomination. And they would rip him away and put him in a cordoned off place that was away from people, isolated, quarantined. He couldn't even say goodbye to his wife. No more contact, no more communication, no more family dinners for the rest of his life. No one could touch him, nor could he touch anybody else. He was a leper. He was of the lowest caste. He would have to stay in this quarantined area. And should he go out, he'd have to carry a bell, and it was the law. The punishment would be death, immediate death. And when he would see someone else coming towards him, he'd have to ring the bell as loudly as he could and yell, "Unclean, unclean," hide his face and hide into the nearest alleyway. That person would then be allowed to pass by on the other side of the road. He would have to do this each time he'd leave that compound. The rest of his life, he could hear no more laughter, no more birthday parties, no more family times, no communication, absolutely alone. That was until one day he heard about the carpenter from Nazareth. They called him Emmanuel, which means not God separated or God far away, God with us. He knew that he was coming down the street, so he took a risk. Instead of ringing the bell, the Bible says he ran and fell on his knees. And he said this, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now that you couldn't do. But he touched him. I mean, that's what Jesus does. I am willing, Jesus said, be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus said, now go show yourself to that priest as a testimony to them. Let him know that Emmanuel is here. And as he looked, his skin turned pink, just like a baby's skin. He ran to the priest and the priest confirmed it. Said, yeah, you're good to go. I can go home. You can go home. I can go home. You can go home. Can you see this man running down the street towards the home that he had been expelled from, weeping and crying for the miracle, hugging his wife, hanging on to his baby, greeting his sons? Don't you think that man became rich that day? No money on this earth would he replace for that moment. He was rich. You know, there was a young man that couldn't wait for his father to die. So he wanted all of his money that he could amass that came to him as a designated inheritance. And being young still, he ran off and squandered the money to the point where now he was homeless. He hired himself out to this farm down the road, found himself one night looking through the slop of the pig that maybe there might be something he could stomach. It was then at the lowest point of his life that God used to bring him to his senses. Ever happened to you? How often we're stubborn, prideful. But God takes everything away sometimes and we're looking through slop for some leftovers and we finally come to our senses. And well, that's happened to him. And he said, what in the world am I doing? I got to go back to my dad. I don't even deserve being a son. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell my dad, I don't deserve to be your son. Make me as a hired servant. That'd be good enough for me. And he rehearsed that speech again and again and again. He headed home, a little wary of the, scared actually, of the response that the dad might give to him. Maybe he'd come after me with a stick. I don't know. As he approached the home that he had left, he saw a figure, his father, running towards him. He didn't know if the dad was angry. But as the dad got closer, you could see the face of a father. And it wasn't a stick that he had, it was outstretched arms. He embraced his son, put a ring on his finger, called to the servants, get the barbecue fired up. We're going to have a party. When that father embraced that son and that son embraced that father, don't you think they both were rich that day? They became rich. No money in the world could replace that moment of wealth. For you know that the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, he became poor for our sake, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Sometimes we want stuff. We demand things to change when God is saying, do you understand what wealth really is? It's in the gifts of relationships. And this season, let's realize how wonderful that is. That's what makes us rich, because God never intended for us to live alone. What would make you happy? $1 billion? If we said to God, God, I need $1 billion, then I'll be happy. And God says, I'll give you $1 billion. I'll give you $300 billion. I'll give you $500 billion. Really? Are you happy? Whoa, yeah. And I'm going to give you a ton of houses, palatial mansions, Ferraris, Bentleys. I'll give you 4, 5, 6 of them. Boats, yachts. You'll have all of that. How's that? Woohoo, that's great. And gold. I'll give you gold bullion on pallets. And every palace that you have will have a swimming pool. Woohoo! Will that make you happy? I'm happy. The only catch is this. What? The catch is you will live on an island in the middle of nowhere all alone by yourself the rest of your life. But enjoy the $1 billion, 500 billion, palaces, swimming pools. Why? You could swim in one pool one day, one another one in the next. drive your Bentley around that island if you want. But you will never see another person. But enjoy it. Well, you might enjoy it for the first month, maybe two. But then you'll be sitting on the edge of the pool thinking, what in the world? This is terrible. You see, what makes life valuable is healthy relationships. Everything of value rises or falls on the basis of relationships. Without them, it doesn't matter what you have. Everything loses its value. Isn't that right? You know, down the street, a woman faced a mob. Stones were in hand, ready to toss at her, because that was the law. You see, in those days, adultery held a penalty of death. And so those that were religious leaders were armed with stones in their hands. They were ready to pelt her. And there she stood, nervously shaking, anticipating the pain of every stone. Do you know how horrible a death that would be? The slow torture of rock after rock after rock, cutting your skin, your face, your body. Doesn't matter how much you hid from them, you're still vulnerable to the rocks that would be thrown. She had committed adultery, so obviously she had a husband, maybe kids at home, but in a weak moment of her life, she messed up, and now she faced death. So nervously, she stood there waiting. Her only hope was that they would do it quickly so she would die without much pain. All of that except for one thing. Jesus showed up. Emmanuel. Not far away, very close. He wrote on the ground and he said to those armed with stones, he said, let him who is without sin be the first to cast a stone. That's you, go ahead, throw. Must have really got to their consciences because they began dropping stones one by one and leaving. Then it was just Jesus, Emmanuel, and the lady. And the Lord said to her, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. I can go, you can go. You see, Jesus showed up to protect the consequences of her actions because she can't turn the clock back. It was done. But Jesus protected her from herself. Now go home. You'll be okay. Don't you think that woman became rich that day? Do you understand? He who was rich for our sakes became poor, so that he could relate to you and me at our lowest moments, so that in our poverty, we might become rich. But we'll have to open our hearts to what he has to offer. The exchange rate costs him blood. It was the cross. But that's what Christmas is all about. He who was rich came down to a manger and was covered with cloth so he wouldn't freeze to death. He is Emmanuel. That's what Christmas is all about. And we're going to be inundated with other stuff, events, activities. But would you remember Jesus this year? Remember how rich relationships are. Need to repair some? Repair them. Need to forgive? Forgive. That's what makes us rich. Let me finish with a story of a man who I think missed this whole meaning of Christmas. He was looking for stuff. Didn't realize that it was really relationships. He had an anger problem. He didn't like his family. His wife and he weren't doing well. He didn't like his kids. He wanted out. He was looking for other relationships, pursuing them. Christmas came. And there his little daughter, about 7 years old, had given him a gift. It was a nice little box wrapped, just about 6 or 7 inches square. She got up early in the morning. Daddy, she said, open mine first. He said, for what? Well, it's Christmas. Who cares, he said. It's just another day. Daddy, open mine. So he unwrapped the present, opened the box. It was empty. The father looked at that little girl and said, is this a cruel joke? What is this? Go to your room. This is stupid. It's empty. The little girl said, Daddy, it's not empty. It's empty. She said, no. Daddy, before I put the lid on it, I blew 100 kisses into it. It's full. You know, sometimes we miss everything about what God has for us that makes us rich. This Christmas, let's not forget that. He who was rich and owned it all, for our sakes became poor, so that through his poverty, we might understand what makes us rich. This Christmas, let's do it.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, have a Merry Christmas, and may Jesus truly be the reason for your season. God bless you and aloha.